You're listening to Playing the Numbers Podcast, bringing you baseball numbers you don't know but need to know, and deep dives on teams and players around the league. Now, presenting your co-hosts, Avery Redd and Shane Mohan.
Hey, and welcome back to Playing the Numbers Podcast. The draft was last night, July 11th. We're here on the 12th to talk about a lot of things today. One of the big ones is Acuña being out for the season, had a really nasty leg injury. And the Reds are looking like they're contenders. Let's hear it from you guys. Ave, joined with him as always. Let's get in the numbers.
All right, what's going on, everybody? As we said, sad day. Acuña's out for the rest of the year. Even being Nats and Phillies fans, you'll never like to see that shit. But hopefully he's got a speedy recovery. And then, yeah, the draft, we'll get into that from last night. Ian Ader, you got the National League.
All right, let's waste no more time. Starting it off with the Pirates at the Mets. And we got a split here, which is huge for the NL East. Mets took it in game one and kind of ran with that, but the Pirates bounced back in the doubleheader. Game one won it 6-2, and the Mets did get a 4-2 win in game three. And the Pirates pull out a very sneaky W in game four with a 6-5 win. Some standouts here. We had Lindor going off, and this kind of pisses me off because I was doing some DraftKings. We kind of picked that up over the weekend, and I was very, very close to picking him. But nonetheless, he did go off at a couple homers. Adam Frazier was 6-for-14 with a double, and Brian Reynolds continues to be a standout, going 4-for-16 with a homer and three ribbies. Pirates Mets split 2-2. Phils are creeping up on him, though. That's huge. We need more of this shit. Anyways, Braves and the Marlins playing in Miami for the second one. Braves take the series 2-1, kind of expected here. Charlie Morton had a great outing, going 7, giving up none with 7 Ks. He's looking nice this year. He's definition of gets better with age, in my opinion. He's also a late bloomer, so to say, kind of like DeGrom. And on the offensive side of things, Dansby Swanson did poke a few homers out, as well as Aguilar and Jazz on the fish side of things.
Yeah, Jazz hit the home run that Acuña, well, he hit it inside the Parker on the homer that Acuña tore his ACL on.
And the right, okay, so that's what they counted the homer as. Okay, I didn't know if they counted as a triple or not.
The fucking Marlins on Twitter posted a video of Acuña getting hurt and literally said, "Oh, you guys, let's watch this Jazz inside the park home run." Like, what a bunch of dicks.
Well, here, so did they start the video as a close-up of
they
him?
Literally, I didn't watch it because they deleted it, but literally, like, the thumbnail.
They deleted it, wow.
Literally, the thumbnail of the video is Acuña getting, like, carted off the field, and then they're like, "Let's watch this cool Jazz inside the park home run." What a bunch
there
of
there you have
dicks.
Fuck the fish. They're prickly bastards, and now I just lost all respect for the shitters. I always felt sympathy for them, but now I hope they fucking rot at the bottom of the barrel. Sick assholes. It's fuck the Braves, but it's also fuck the fish now after that cruel fucking heartless bullshit. But Acuña will be out the rest of the year with the torn ACL. Very unfortunate. Thought he was going to have a 40-40 season. Hopefully he can come back next year. Anyways, Nats at Giants will be the next series we talk about. This was great. This was great stuff. Giants get the sweep. Really expected that. I actually was thinking about putting some bread on it. I was so confident in it, but Giants backed up the East.
Got
and
here.
Got the sweep.
Thinking about putting shit on it.
We had some nice pitching performances from the Giants in every game, but Desclafani stuck out here. Went 6 with 6 Ks, no earned runs and 3 hits. Carved your asses the fuck up. Kirk Cassali had 2 homers in the series. Holy shit, let him go yard twice. And Brandon Crawford was 7-for-11 with a nuke, a double, and 3 ribbies. Whole Giants offense could have been standouts. But Giants take the sweep, and the Nats move to 4th place.
You are shitters.
We swapped with the Nats for standings. So thank you, Giants, and thank you, Nats, for being dog shit.
The playoffs.
Moving on to Cincinnati and Milwaukee. We're playing this one over Milwaukee. Reds get the 3-1 series win in this 4-game set. Wizardry was on the bump in game 2.
Wizardry from Wade Miley.
Wade Miley went 8 innings of 7-hit baseball and no earned runs. He's having a really nice year, man. He's having a really nice year. And on the offensive side for Cincinnati, Castellanos and Winker, if you couldn't guess, they went off. As usual, both had 4 hits in the series and combined for 6 ribbies and 3 walks. To their stat line, Reds take the series 3-1. And yes, I do believe they are contenders. I've been saying this for months. I like this team. I think it's kind of the same story as a lot of teams. You just need to add a few arms to that rotation. And I mean, TJ Antone, nice guy out of the pen, close games. And you need more studs to pass the ball over to him with a lead. And I think if they can do that, you're talking a very, very high possibility of DS or CS for the Reds. I'm not saying World Series, but I could see a DS or CS from them.
I don't know if they turn in the buyers at the deadline and pick up an arm. But I don't know. I've heard they're also rumored to be sellers. So, honestly,
I'm hearing that about a lot of teams, though. You don't really know. Yeah. I mean, some teams will leak it like, yeah, we're selling or buying. But in all honesty, every team is doing both, if you think about it, in some way.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to predict any playoffs until after the deadline. But we will fight. Right. We'll fucking see what they do. I'm actually kind of – they're a team that's on the cusp right now. That's interesting to see what they'll do.
No doubt about it. And just to conclude that, the Reds take the series 3-1. Moving on to Cardinals and Cubbies. Cubbies have been really shit lately, so to say. Game 3 did get postponed here, so it's a split as of now. Kyle Hendricks looked pretty good in game 1, going 6 1/3, giving up 2. And Jack Peterson did have a 2-for-4 series of 3 ribbies for the Cubbies. And for the Cardinals, Goldie did knock one out. Paul DeJong knocked out 2 himself, going 3-for-5. Both had doubles in the series, combined for 6 ribbies. Game 3 will be made up at a later date, not sure when, but that will conclude Cardinals-Cubs split 1-1, and we'll move on to the D-backs and the Dodgers. This one was over in L.A., and as expected, the Dodgers take the series. They did not get the sweep, but they did win 22-1 in game 2. Now, I believe before that, you guys had the most runs scored against the D-backs this year. Is that correct?
I don't know if it was the most, but I know we scored like
17, right?
17, yeah, I think so. But Dodgers hit eight dingers.
Insanity, man. Insanity. Walker Buehler looked nice in game 2. That was the 22-1 game. Went 6 innings, 7 strikeouts and 2 walks with no runs. AJ Pollock, out of all guys in this lineup that have multi-homer series, it's him. And not only did he have 2, but he had a hat trick, 3 homers on his Brad Miller shit, trying to be like him. Went 7-for-11. Mookie Betts was 5-for-11 with a pair of homers. And Justin Turner knocked one out himself. A lot of offense from the Dodgers in the series, and they will stay hot. Moving on to 56-35 after this. and the D-backs stay in the shitter. Let's now wrap it up with the NL, with the Rockies playing at the Pods. Rockies get the series 2-1 and take advantage of the struggling Padres. They actually shut them out in game two and only gave up one in game three, a total of 3 runs given up the whole series by the Rockies. German Marquez in game two went 7 innings with 9 Ks, no runs, and just 3 hits. And John Gray followed it up the next day with a similar outing, going 1 less inning, giving up 1 run and 7 Ks. And Chris Owings and CJ Krohn both went yard in this series to help the Rockies get the dub, move on to 40 and 51. They're kind of getting that record back up. They still get their majority of losses, but they execute on the struggling Pods, as I said. And that will wrap up the NL. Let's hand it over to you for the AL, Eve.
Anyway, let's see. What do we got here? Angels and Mariners, two teams that are kind of playing above their heads right now. Well, I guess the Angels aren't, but the Mariners definitely are. They take the series 2-1. Angels are over 500, though, which is good to see going into the break. Hopefully they get Trout back and get on a run and get to the damn playoffs. Chris Flexen.
I don't see it.
7 innings. Not a bad outing. He gives strikes out 6, walks 2. And not a bunch of offense in the series, but Mitch Haniger hits one out. Luis Torrens, triple RBI, 2 walks. Not the most exciting series. As I said, Seattle takes it 2-1 or 2-1. They're now 5 games over 500 at the break. Definitely did not expect that. We got the Royals and the Indians. Indians technically sweep at 3-0. It was supposed to be a 4-game set, but game 4 got postponed. So they take all 3 first games, though. Tristan McKenzie with a hell of an outing in game 2, going 7 innings with 9 Ks. And Cesar, 4-for-13 with a dinger and 3 ribbies. Ex-Philly, you love to see it. The Indians.
I do.
The Indians kind of went on a huge skid that, in my eyes, took them out of the race. But they're still 3 games over 500, so never say never, I guess. And the Royals, they've been out for a while. So Indians take the dub, or the sweep, actually.
Pause.
And we got the A's and the Rangers. A's took care of business. They take it 2-1. Chris Bassitt with another hell of a start. 7 innings, 1 run, 3 Ks. 2 homers apiece for Matt Olson and Jed Lowry. Jed Lowry with 4 ribbies, a double as well. Big time series dub for the A's. They're gaining ground on the Strohs after the Yankees just took 2 out of 3 from them, which we'll be moving on to next. And the Yankees and the Strohs, hell of a series. First 2 games are shutouts by the Yanks. 4-0 in game 1 and game 2. Complete game shutout with 12 Ks for Garrett Cole. Aaron Boone tried to take him out with 1 out left, and he said, absolutely not. Get the fuck off this mound. And then he struck out Alvarez on 3 pitches. I got to give him props for that. That's a ballsy move right there, telling your manager to shut the fuck down, because if you give up a game-tying nuke, you are fucked. Actually, it would have been a walk-off nuke because there was a runner on first. So that's huge right there. That's a ballsy play. And then game 3, I was watching a lot of it. Hell of a game. Yankees went up 7-2 after his Gary Scary 3-run nuke. Looked like they were about to sweep them. And then a 6-run 9th inning capped off by Jose Altuve walk-off home run. Gives the Astros the win and avoids the sweep. And that is a lot of momentum for those guys going into the break, even though they lost the series. But that was a huge win for them against the Skanks.
It was. I honestly thought Astros were going to sweep them here, but Yanks have been – kind of struggling lately, but I guess they're back on their shit, right?
Well, they're still only 3 games over 500, but they have been looking better the last few series. But
That Altuve walk off was pretty fucking sick. They ripped off the fucking. I don't know if you saw that. Ripped off his jersey. He's not wearing a wire.
I know, that's funny as shit. Well, they were trading shit like that all back and forth the whole series.
That's great. It's great stuff.
Yeah, well, Astros now 55-36, and as I said, the Yanks are 46-43. And moving on here, you got battle of shitters, Tigers and Twins. Twinkie sweep it 4-0. J.A.
Happens. You got to get a soundboard or a sound pad for battle of the shitters. Yeah. Just have it say battle of the shitters, like some type of music.
That would be funny. Well, if you want to talk about a battle of the shitter, this is one right here. But the Twinkies sweep it. They're still 11 games under 500. And J.A. Happ, or J. Happ, as you would say, since you don't know his name, he goes 7 innings, 3 runs, 8 Ks. And Polanco with 2 dingers and 8 ribbies. I had him in a lot of my DraftKings lineups. I love it. And Kepler. What's Kepler do? 6. That's not his name. It's J. It's J.A.
He had a year with the Phils. He was good.
He came up with the Phils, I think. I remember him. Freaking Max Kepler goes, it's a triple. Wow. And a dinger. 4 ribbies.
Yeah, he had a nice series.
Well, the Twinkie sweep it. I don't feel like I have the need to talk about this anymore. Pretty boring series. Moving on, we got the Blue Jays and Rays. A little more interesting here. Rays take game one and two. And Toronto takes game three, which we saw Robbie Ray take a no-no into what, the sixth? When did he lose it?
He lost it in the seventh, I think it was.
Okay. So yeah, he was,
I think right after he gave up the hit, he got yanked. I think it was the lead off the inning. It was off the wall and left. Almost got robbed. It almost went out too. But
he was fucking dealing. I love Robbie Ray. He was a guy I really wanted the Nats to go after in the offseason. But
there's Yandy Diaz.
Yeah, Yandy. And Brandon Lau, he was off to a really, really slow start. But picking it up lately, he had 3 homers in this series. I think he's got like 20 or 21 on the year or something. So he's picking it up. Blue Jays are now 3 games over 500. They still don't think they're quite a playoff team. But next year, they can pick up another starter. They're going to be deadly.
Couldn't agree more.
But the Rays pick up the series dub. They're still behind the Bo Sox in first place, but they're gaining ground. We got the White Sox and the O's. As most would expect, the White Sox get the sweep here, 3-0. Dallas Keuchel had a nice start in game one, 7 innings of 1-run ball. And then some hitting standouts here. We had Tim Anderson. He went 5-for-15 with 2 doubles. And Jose Abreu went 5-for-11 with 3 ribbies and walked 4 times. White Sox, really a team that's been bit by the injury bug this year. Luis Robert, Nick Madrigal, freaking Grandal.
Eloy,
yeah. I forgot Eloy because he's just been out for so damn long. But
and they still got only 35 L's.
And they're still almost 20 games over 500, so I got to tip my cap to them. They were a team I was not too high on. I thought they were a playoff team, but I didn't think they were going to be running away with this division, so I'll tip my cap to them. And then we got one more interleague series, which I'll let you talk about.
The Goats.
Because I don't want to talk about these shitters anyway.
Bills moved to 4-4-4-4. And the Red Sox moved to 55-36 after a Phils series dub, scoring 16 runs in the series. The Phils win it. Ranger Joe shut the door on the Bo Sox in game 3, going 2 1/3. There was literally no pitching standouts in this series. And I thought that was pretty clutch considering we have the worst bullpen of all time this year. And most blown saves of all time in a whole season. But Ranger Joe pulls it out of his ass and shuts the door. Ronald Torres did go yard. Holy shit. Yes, you did hear that right. He did go yard. 6 for 9 in the series with a double. I think 3 of those hits came in game 2. Actually, I think he only played 2 games in the series. So I think he got a hat trick of hits in both games.
He sucks.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Your team's a joke, let's be honest.
Yeah, go fuck your fourth place selves. Anyways.
I'll go fuck my World Series ring, asshole. I'll go fuck my World Series ring.
Yeah, we'll go fuck to the 2 we have.
Yeah, I forgot you were alive during one and forgot you knew what was going on during the other.
That's all you can say, bro.
That's all you can say.
You can't flex your World Series when you're still fucking shitting your pants during it.
How about I'll fucking flex whatever the fuck I want?
I'll stay flexing my fucking reigning full season.
This
camps.
Guy is going to be sitting in a rocking chair with one fucking ring, still fucking talking about it. Still fucking holding his World Series flag from 2019 and talking about Soto and shit.
The funny thing is, that's every Phillies fan right now. That are
it's
like,
not, though.
Like, that are like fucking 50, 60 years old, like my pops and shit. He's got his 2 World Series. My pops has been a Phillies fan since the 70s. The 70s. That's fucking 50 years. And guess how many flags he's got to hold up? 2. Your team's a joke.
Better than none and better than 1 like your asses. Anyways, let me finish up the GOAT series. Let me finish up the GOATs. I know it's hard for you to recognize that we passed you again.
Dude, the funny thing is we were just ahead of your ass and you got nothing to say.
And where are we now? Where are we now?
You're going to be in the shitter. Don't worry.
Where are we right now?
Another shitter draft pick by you guys.
Where are we right now?
As usual. You're at 500, you fucking Punching Judy exactly. Motherfucker.
Exactly. Gene Segura was 5 for 15 with a nuke himself. That one was the lead off the game in game 3. Totally tore it up in fucking DraftKings. What an animal. And the GOATs move on to 44-44. I think this is the second time we've seen 500 next to their name all year. So it doesn't look good on paper at all, but they're coming around. And I have mixed feelings on the timing of it. I think it was good going into the break because now they can chill out for, 4, 5, 6 days and be able to reflect on the last week because they got some big dubs there. And I think if we can repeat the last week, say 2 to 3 out of the 4 weeks every month moving forward, you definitely see playoffs.
Somebody please leave a review or go in this guy's DMs or whatever you got to do. Just please let him know that the Phillies will be nowhere near the playoffs. Because he's got to hear it from somebody else, apparently.
Keep sleeping on him.
Dude, I will hibernate on these motherfuckers. They are horrible.
Keep fucking sleeping on
them. I'm hibernating on them. I'm grabbing my nuts and hibernating with them. Because they're horrible. Let's fucking move on now. I'm sick of talking about this.
Fucking sleeping, pussy.
Let's do the damn power rankings. Because I'm sick of talking about those guys.
Yeah, I bet you are with your fucking COVID. Actually, we got the
video. Man, what did you just say?
We got the
video. What did you just say, you dirty fuckers? Don't even give me that shit. Touching yourselves in the locker room and stuff.
We got the vid.
Nolan Boom are pulling the Jeter and Posada. And fucking Bailey Falter and Brogdon are pulling it in the bullpen together.
We did get the vid over the weekend, which actually sucks. But at the same time, good timing because they should be good to go after the break.
No, they won't. They have to sit for 10 days at least.
All right. So they'll miss the who do we come back and play? I think it's the Fish. So they'll miss the Fish series. They'll miss the Fish series. They'll be back for the Yanks, which is perfect. I mean,
well, let's move on. I'm sick of these guys. Power rankings. I got the Giants at the number one spot. Got to keep them there. They just beat one of the best teams of all time. So we got to keep them up there. The Dodgers, number two. Astros, number three. The Red Sox, four. Pods, five. Brew Crew, six. White Sox, seven. Rays, eight. A's, nine. And the Reds, 10. You will not see the Mets on this list.
All right. Mine is pretty similar. I had the Giants at first, like the Red Sox at two. I'm still liking them. I honestly still think they're one of, if not the best team in the AL. I think it's going to be them and the Astros for the World Series, for representing the AL, so to say. Followed by the Astros at three, Dodgers at four, White Sox at five, Padres at six, lowest I've seen them all season on my power rankings. Rays at seven, Brewers at eight, A's at nine, and I'm going to put the Mets at 10 just because they've held down the number one spot in the standings for the first half.
The and Mets I gotta are give them credit. Such a joke.
I don't care. I don't care. And that's big coming for me because I fucking hate the Mets, but I got to give them credit because they have held down the number one spot, like I said.
Hard, though. They'd be in third or fourth in any division, and I love all these Mets fans that are like...
Hey, would, could, should have, fucking, they're not.
Well, I love all the Mets fans that are like, when Syndergaard comes back, we're going to have an elite rotation. Like, what do you think? Syndergaard is going to come back and be, like, back on his shit or something? Well, for one, he was never even that – he's always been overrated anyway. And for two, he didn't just come back from not pitching after, like, 2 years and just all of a sudden be back on some shit. Like, that's not how it works.
We'll see what he's got. I don't think it's – going to make or break their season. I think it could only help.
Oh, yeah. It could only help is true, but I just think it's funny how they think he's going to come back and, like, rule some shit. Let's get into the trivia, though, because I got some good ones, and I'm up by 3 points still. So you better be gaining some ground.
I think I will be.
All right. I'll start your ass off with the question this time. So let's see how well you really know your 2008 Phillies. In 2008, who did the Phillies beat in the NLCS to make it to the World Series?
Well, I think it was the Rockies. Actually, no, they beat us in 07. NLCS, I want to say we took out the Cardinals.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Well, it would be incorrect. It was the Dodgers.
Holy shit. That's a botch.
Don't be flexing it, motherfucker. Don't be flexing it. The Cardinals beat you in 2011 when Howard fucking rolled his ACL over.
Yeah. Rockies took us out of the DS the year before the fucking World Series. I knew that.
Yeah, they did. They swept you. Swept by the Rockies, the Cockies. You gonna hit me with your question?
Motherfucker.
You're gonna keep sulking.
Who was the last player to be drafted first overall by the struggling Pirates?
No Nats question?
Oh, I got a Nats question.
First player to be drafted, or the last player?
Well, the last player.
Technically, it'd be Henry Davis, but besides him, Gerrit Cole.
I'd be correct.
You're damn right.
That would be correct. That was a light work one.
All right. I got one for you. Who is the only player to win MVP, Cy Young, and the Gold Glove in the same season?
Greg Maddux.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Incorrect. Greg Maddux never won the MVP. It was Bob Gibson.
Bob Gibson. Fuck.
always just fucking blurt out your answer.
I know he got a gold glove.
Maddox has a shit ton. He's got like 18 gold gloves or something.
Wow.
And Theo is in jeopardy of going 0-3, and my next question's pretty hard.
All right, well, this one is a math question. How many triples did Bryce Harper have in his MVP season?
Triples? Interesting.
Yes.
I ain't gonna use my hint, but I'm gonna say he had two.
He had one.
Damn it. All right. That's a good question.
Is he one for two?
It's a nice question. All right. I'll hit you with mine. You do have your hint still. Who are the only, in honor of the Derby tonight, who are the only two players to win the Home Run Derby in back-to-back years? There is two answers. You do have your hint.
Okay.
You can ask me a hint for each answer. I'll give you that.
Cespedes.
That is one. You now have one more. Who is it?
Prince Fielder.
Is that your final answer? You still have your hint. Don't forget.
No, it's not my final answer. I want a hint. What division?
The division, it is the the AL West.
AL West. Okay. It's got to be Griffey.
That is correct.
And Griffey and Cespedes.
Theo staves off the 0-3.
I don't get swept. Philly, we don't get swept around here in this state.
You got swept by the Nats, though.
Two-game set does not count.
Yes, it does. Sweep is a sweep. Sweepies!
All right, your third and final question will be, who threw the last no-hitter for the Bo Sox?
The Bo Sox. All right, I want my hint, and I want to know what decade it was in.
It was in the decade of the GOATs World Series.
No hitter. Was it Schilling?
Final answer.
No. Fuck. I don't know, actually. It might be, but let me think for another second. Schilling. I don't think it's Pedro. I feel like it's going to be some fucker that you wouldn't expect. Fuck it, Schilling. Even though I think it's wrong.
It would be John Lester.
Lester, fuck! I forgot he threw a no-no.
John Lester in 2008.
Shitter, I'm sick of his ass. Fuck, dude. I knew he threw a no-hitter too, but I fucking couldn't think of that shit at the time. All right, nice stump.
Damn right.
All right, so it is now 15-12. I still have the lead. You're damn right. And now I want to talk about the draft for a few minutes real quick. What do you feel about Andrew Painter?
I personally, right now, overall, I like it. I like it because I see a lot of potential here. I see a 6'7", 230-pound big right-hander who right now sits mid-90s. We've seen that he can keep it through the game too, which is huge. He keeps the velocity up the whole game. Love it. Starter written all over it. No possible fucking Spencer Howard bullshit where he can't fucking last two innings.
Yeah,
honestly, he's going to Florida, so hopefully they can kind of develop him there, get him on a weightlifting program, good diet, get his fastball up to like 96, 97. consistently, maybe top at 98. And I'd like to see him work on the off speed and the breaking balls more. And if that can all come up to top tier, I love it. I love it because we need pitching.
You do. You do. Well, I love the Nats pick. The guy that was possibly a number three overall selection falls to 11. The guy looks like a beast. He's already 6'4". He's going to be hitting nukes.
What do you mean already 6'4"?
He might grow a few more.
No way.
Never know. Probably not, but maybe.
No way he grows.
Fuck off.
No way he grows more.
How do you know? Are you a doctor?
And he might. He's
definitely going to. What'd you say?
Most men are done growing before by the end of high school. There's like the occasional outlier, I think, that grows into college. But
yeah, like freaking Giannis, dude. I just saw like a post, and they showed like a picture of Giannis in every year of his career. Holy shit, dude! That guy was a twig when I forgot how skinny his ass was, and then look at him now. He looks like fucking Arnold.
Yeah, he looks like a fucking Hulk, dude. We got the dub last night for the Sun or for the Bucks. Holy shit. So it looks like we're going to have a series for the finals.
I have not been watching, to be honest, but I'll probably tune into it when it's an elimination game. In my opinion, the biggest steal of the draft, I did a post on it. I'd have to say Khalil Watson at 16.
Really?
That was a fucking steal.
Dude, I think Kumar at 10 was a fucking steal.
He was my second biggest steal, but the reason he wasn't first is because the Mets just spent a shit ton of money, and now they're going to have to, in the later rounds, they're not going to be able to take as good of players. So, and honestly, Kumar kind of freaks me out here because, yeah, I understand it's all about money and shit like that, but if so many teams that could have used him and could have picked him up just passed on him like that, it would kind of scare me to a certain degree. Cause like, why are they passing on this guy? Like, have you ever seen the movie? I forget what it's called. I think it's just called Draft Day. It's got Kevin Costner in it.
And I've not seen that.
Well, it's a really good movie. Actually, it's like about he's the general manager of the Browns. And it's and they literally just like go into the draft and they're like following this guy, what he does through the draft. And there's like a clear number one pick, this quarterback, Bo Callahan. And he is like supposed to be like a stud. Like he's like as clear as a number one pick as like Bryce Harper and shit. So like this guy is the number one pick, no doubts about it. And they have the first pick. And then it finally gets down to draft picks. If you've never seen this and you want to, I'd click off because I'm about to spoil it. But he goes with this like linebacker that was a good player, but not supposed to go number one overall, and picks him, and everybody's like shocked. And then nobody will pick this freaking Callahan guy because he's like, all right, why the hell did the Browns just pass on him? There must be something wrong with him. So then nobody will pick him. And then he like pulls this whole finesse off. You gotta fucking watch it. It's a good ass movie.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. I might check that out tonight.
It's a good ass movie. It has Chadwick Boseman in it, the guy that played Jackie.
So it's kind of new.
Yeah, it's probably like 2015, 2014.
Yeah.
A good ass
draft
movie.
Draft Day.
Let me look it up. I think it's called Draft Day. Draft Day. Holy shit. That should take 10 years to load. But, yeah, honestly, what would you say, while I'm looking this up, what would you say is the biggest steal, Kumar?
It's got to be Kumar. I thought he was going top five.
And a lot of people did. Yeah, it's called Draft Day. It was 2014 it was made.
Nice.
Honestly, yeah. I don't mind the Painter pick for the Phillies, and I really like Marcelo Mayer. Fucking Boston, dude. I was in this group chat. I'm in this group chat with a bunch of baseball accounts and shit. And there's this Boston fan that was literally bitching about getting Marcelo Mayer. Like, A, you're in first place and you have a top five pick in the draft. B, you just got the number one ranked prospect in the draft. How are you fucking bitching about that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they're looking for something else. And you got to remember, these guys, you're not going to see any of them for a good 5-6 years.
Exactly. That's what he's talking about. He's like, we don't need infielders. We got blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, by the time this guy's ready to come up, you're probably not even going to have any of them anymore. Maybe one or two of them.
Well, Bogaerts and Devers are still rather young. Yeah, but Hernandez, I guess he's playing second right now, right? Or they have him in center.
I think he's playing a little bit of both. But, I mean, it don't matter. By the time Marcelo Mayer's ready to come up, or Kike will probably be fucking retired.
Right, that's my point. Yeah, if he's playing second now, he'll definitely be out of there by then.
Just a stupid thing I heard and fucking bitching about getting the number one overall prospect. But that was a great pick for them. And then, of course, Jack Leiter to Texas. Honestly, I'm going to call that a steal because even though I like the Pirates' first pick a lot, getting Leiter at anywhere but number one is a steal, honestly.
Right, so now that raises some questions like, do you want to keep him and Gibson in the same rotation?
Well, I don't know how fast he's going to be up in the big leagues. I mean, I don't think Gibson even is going to be on the team after this year, but they'll probably trade him.
If he doesn't leave the Rangers this year, I think you could see them start to rebuild. I think it would be dumb of them to get rid of guys like Gibson. If after taking this pick, after last night, it would be dumb of them to get rid of Gibson.
Well, I don't know how long Leiter's going to take to come up. I mean, I could definitely see him coming up in 2-3 years because he's got the stuff. You don't want to rush him. But I don't know. Texas, they're in a weird spot right now because they're kind of – if you look at their lineup, it's not horrible. They got Gallo. They got Nate Lowe. They got Kiner Falefa. I like him a lot. They got a decent squad. And – adding Leiter in a few years will not hurt it at all, but I could definitely see Texas making like a big splash in free agency in the next few years and then going for it, bringing up Leiter, bringing up all their guys and trying to make a push for it. But I love the Leiter pick it too. And I actually really like, I really like the Henry Davis pick as well. It's not a bad pick at all, but I know your ass has to get to work. I got to catch a plane in a few hours. So, well, we got the Derby tonight at 8 o'clock, so why don't we wrap this up?
All right, guys, that will do it for Friday, or I should say Monday's episode. We just wrapped up the first half of the season, like we stated in the show, and we'll look forward to wrapping up the Derby on Friday. There's the Derby and the All-Star Game, I should say. They're both coming up today. We got the Derby tomorrow. We got the All-Star Game. And it should be fireworks both nights. I'm pulling for Olsen in the Derby.
I got pulling for Godo.
Yeah, obviously, this fucker's taking his ass. I actually do think so. Like, I think we talked about this in the last episode. Go check that out. We broke down the All-Star Game and Derby contestants and what we think the outcomes are going to be, but we'll say no more. Signing off, and we'll see you guys on Friday.
See you later, guys.
And before you click off, check out our sponsored segment, Anchor.
Yep, just check it out. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Anchor before you go and why it's the best way to make a podcast.
That will conclude this week's episode of Playing the Numbers Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Your feedback is very important to us, so leave a review and tell us your thoughts. Check back every Monday for a new weekly recap episode and hear what went on around the league.